Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Welcome to Cop Shop. I'm Nicole Brown, Public Information Officer for the Farmington Police Department. And with me, as always, is Chief Hebby, our wonderful leader.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good. How's Christmas season?
It's good. I'm liking it. Great, good. I was trying to say both.
Are you all shopped up?
My family, we actually don't give gifts on Christmas.
Really?
We take a family trip.
Well,
so that started a long time ago when my kids were smaller, because they would get so many gifts from grandparents and aunts and cousins. And we would come home with so much just stuff that they didn't even, you know, get to play with all of it. So we decided that we just, as a family, we would start doing trips together and build memories. So
build memories.
Yeah.
That sounds like something you'd have on a sign.
We just feel like it's a better way to spend our money.
Yes.
So,
well, very
and then
good.
It's kind of spread out. The kids don't get as much anymore. The more we've done it and talked about it, our family then gives a little less to the kids, and it's more about spending time with them. And
good.
So it's good. But what about you? Are you?
I am not a huge gift buyer anymore. Through the years, I've done that some. I probably like trips more. I like watching football on TV.
Yeah.
Christmas is football on TV, you know.
Yeah, aren't you doing something special for Christmas Day?
You know, I'm not sure, but yes, maybe so. So Janet and I are going home. We're going to visit my dad in Wisconsin, and we're going to the Packer-Cleveland Brown game.
Oh.
And so I know Scott will be rooting for the Packers, because the Browns are possibly going to knock off the Bills. Keep him out of the playoffs. Scott's militantly a Packer fan for 1 week. But we've also got a guest in here who we
do.
You know, we could ignore. And, you know, I guess
no,
at my
I'm
peril.
I'm too excited.
I could just be like a fly on the wall. I could just check out what the Cop Shop's all about, man.
This is it.
No, I'm too excited. We haven't had you yet. So Mayor Duckett is our guest.
Mayor
today.
Thanks, Nicole. Thanks, Chief. Yeah, it's great to be
the
here.
The regalness of the man.
Man, I'll tell you.
That's something. Well, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Tell us about
honor
yourself.
Honored to be here. Well, my name is Nate Duckett.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Are you running for mayor, sir?
I was running for mayor. I am the mayor now. I've been the mayor.
I missed
that election
missed that
stuff
update.
For a couple years.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good.
Actually, I think I was elected right when you came. I don't know if you knew that or
you
not.
You made the council right when I came.
That's right.
Your first term. So what are you up to for Christmas?
You know what I'm planning on, Chief?
Sure.
It's the after Christmas thing that I'm interested in.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm going to be on a big boat in the middle of the Caribbean for a week. So
yikes.
I'm excited for that. I haven't gotten out of town in a while.
Yeah, you are a man about
so
town.
So I'm excited for that. But we're going to have family in town for Christmas. I'm cooking a big Christmas ham for Christmas Day. Christmas Eve, I'm cooking a big batch of chili.
That's
so
a good New Mexico.
My stepsister will be here. My brother's going to be here.
Good.
Nephew just got married. He's going to be here, so it'll be a good time.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, very good.
It's my favorite. This is my favorite month.
This is a great
month. Of all the months.
Yes.
You know, my birthday's also this month, just so you know, if anybody's looking for opportunities.
Anyway, we're
Jesus' birthday's. It's an important time of the month.
Yeah.
My
You're not
mom's
comparing
birthday,
yourself, right?
My grandmother's birthday.
Yeah, there you go.
It's just a good month.
Yeah, it is a good month.
Oh, plus, that's a celebration.
It's Christmas. It's the spirit of the month.
Yeah.
You know, I generally like. But we're also here to talk more kind of about the end. This will be our last show in 2021, which is hard to believe already.
Oh,
I can't
gosh.
Believe it either.
It really has raced through. And so we thought we'd bring you on and let's kind of talk about the state of the city, some of the things that we did as we're coming or trying to come down to the pandemic, and then kind of with our eyes forward to 2022. And getting ready for those things. So how did you think the year went for the city of Farmington?
You know, I thought it fit the narrative that we started at the beginning of the year, that this was going to be a year of resiliency. You know, we started out talking about that right off the bat because 2020 had brought forth so many challenges that nobody in this lifetime certainly had faced.
Or foreseen,
right? And then your hope, of course, is that with the vaccine, you're going to see an improved 2021 on that front. That's kind of not been the case. I mean, one could argue. But even in the midst of all of that happening and all those challenges that are surrounding us, we accomplished a lot in 2021. And so I'm glad you guys brought me on here today so we could talk a little bit about that. But,
yeah.
You know, I think if you look at, you know, the kind of the direction that the city's moving in, and if we look at today, you know, we're got a $3 million surplus right now in gross receipts tax that was not budgeted for. We continue to see, you know, just an amazingly hot real estate market going on around us. The people that I'm meeting at different networking events, we're getting folks from all over the United States who are finding us and moving here, whether retirees or location neutral or professionals on another level. So it's great to see those new community members coming in. And then just looking to where we continue on that path for forward, you know, we finished downtown. That was a big challenge for 2020, especially in the midst of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. That was.
And, you know, we finally got some plants out there now, mm-hmm. right before winter.
Well timed.
If you're listening to this, you got to go check out the Civic Center. Right now, the lights down there are just magnificent. So we got downtown done. We are still focused on the river trails. We were talking about this before the show. Certainly the western side of the river trail system is almost completed. That's going to be beautiful. We've continued to work on plans for what CTED is being used for, and that's Community Transformation Economic Diversification Fund. And I think we're going to go out to bond and for Pinyon Hills Golf Course and do some major renovations there that are needed for this. You know, we're a top 10 municipal golf course, and it's 25, 30 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to put some money back into that, that facility, because it's a jewel. I mean, if you talk to people across the country when it comes to Farmington, they talk about the Connie Mack World Series, which I was happy to see take place this year. It was a great series.
That was a big one.
Oklahoma came in and crushed it.
Yep.
That was excellent. You know, our friend Danny Webb up at the Adult Detention Center, his nephew was the coach of that team, so it's got a nice kind of local feel to it. And then and Pinyon Hills Golf Course. I mean, those are two things that people really relate to this area. So excited to see that project come to fruition. It's already begun. We're getting, you know, supplies on the ground because, you know, supply chain issues have obviously been a problem.
Yeah.
But excited to get that moving forward. But, I mean, there's a lot of other things obviously happening.
Well, Connie Mack was a big one to get back. You know, there were many things that we missed in 2020, but that was a big one. And we weren't even really sure we were going to be able to get it back this year. But it did work out. And Scott was broadcasting it. I know we got a ton of followers from, was it Enid, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Enid, right. Oklahoma. I was a major follower of the mighty KSJE. So, so that was good.
You were preempted by it.
I was preempted and was not happy about it, as a matter of fact. I can remain. That's more one of the dark clouds of 2021, yes. Really.
Oh. But,
and hence, next year, you'll hear the Cop Shop on Crown. KRWN. Oh.
Crown. I've got a show on Crown.
I'm pretty sure. I just signed a contract.
Nicole does what Nicole wants to do. I guess I just follow. But that's why she's PR.
I think another cool thing, Chief, that came up this year was the food hub. Getting that food hub facility open downtown,
mm-hmm.
And just to see the number of local farmers that are now engaged in that process, and knowing that people have that opportunity to just even go online and order local produce, go down to the store and buy local produce, and we're continuing to try and push that out so we can start, you know, getting a 4 or 8 foot section in some of our local grocery stores. But I think that speaks to our desire to see agriculture grow here as well.
Well, and I think downtown really you hit on it with the end of the road development and the complete streets project. But I think we've seen a lot of new businesses opening downtown. We've had our first parades. We had the 4th of July parade. We just had the Christmas parade earlier this month, which was Scott's the man.
But Scott is the man.
But he was time and place.
Yeah, but he was a big announcer for the Christmas parade, which was huge. It was really well attended.
Yeah.
And I think that also mirrored this. It was the same night as the lighting ceremony down at the Civic Center.
Right.
So there's a lot happening downtown right now where, you know, if you look back 4 or 5 years ago, it was a little more stagnant. and we are trying to find a way to get more life back in to the downtown business and the downtown area, period. But I feel like 2021 was a good year for our downtown.
Yeah, I think if you speak to certainly the restaurateurs down there, this year has been really, really good. Certainly, you know, compared to 2020 when they had reduced capacity levels and things like that. But it's what's changed, of course, for them, if you go and speak to Maury or Monica, and is the amount of businesses coming in that's takeout or delivery, and how much that has grown now, which is a product of the COVID era.
Right?
And there's good and there's bad in that,
yes,
of course. But it's exciting, at least to the fact that I think locals have found, I'll say Boone's Thai Barbecue specifically. Man, that place is so good.
Oh,
and I mean, I love
so
a lot of
good.
Restaurants, but it's just such a unique experience here in our city. And I just appreciate Maury and the good job him and his staff do there.
Well, you know, out of bad things, oftentimes good things happen. You get the, you know, kind of the necessity is the mother of invention going. And so Farmington was not big on, which was a little surprising to me when I came here, was not big on outdoor seating.
Right.
And, you know, having tables outdoors, which was surprising because in Anchorage it was actually pretty popular, but it was Anchorage. You know?
Yeah.
So there were like 2 months a year you're sitting outside, but boy, they exploited it. And then come down here, it's sunny almost all the time, and we didn't have much. And so COVID has driven that. You see that in a lot of businesses now, and I like that, frankly.
Yeah, I think it's been great, and it's been desperately needed for our areas. We've wanted to try and create that type of outdoor environment. I mean, 300 days of sunshine. You got to sell that, you know, and whether you're a restaurateur or any other, you got to sell that. Bring people in, let them sit out and enjoy it. So, yeah, it's been exciting to see that as well.
Yeah. Well, as far as the people coming into the town, we've been a couple of years now into kind of an economic rebranding of ourselves.
Sure.
A little less on the oil and natural gas, which has always been cyclical and which remains that way, but a little bit more on the tourism. But B, all the businesses that can spin off from tourism, you know, looking at what a great area we live in. And I don't know that we've done a good enough job through the years of exploiting that and getting people talking about what is there to do in the Four Corners area. Why would I go there? And, you know, I think we're getting a little more effective at that, and I think you're seeing the result.
No, I think it's definitely been a what I would call an attitude change, where people have become, it's more top of mind now because of all the different efforts that certainly the city, the county, you know, Tawny Stinson, her team at the CVB, everybody's kind of been focused on this, and now you can think about, I know where to go if I want a river raft. We've got a river rafting company.
Mm-hmm.
I know where I can go if I want to put my boat in the water. I know Farmington Lake is open for recreation. We've got new trails being developed out just in the outskirts of town with that partnership between the BLM and the county.
Yeah.
And you know, prior to this, and I know people have heard me say this before, but, you know, if you went back 10 years, if you came to visit Farmington, you would be told to go to Durango to find something to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that, I think, has changed because now we've recognized that, hey, I've got all this stuff here we can do as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, I just to speak to this, I mean, just thinking about 2020 or 2021, you know, we had the Outdoor Economics Conference here, you know, which brought like 500 people from across really the state, but regionally.
Mm-hmm.
We had folks all across the United States here. And I think that opened up a lot of eyes, too, for individuals who didn't recognize what Farmington had to offer. I had a lot of folks say, you know, I haven't been here many years, and my goodness. I had a counselor from Las Vegas, New Mexico, came to me, and he goes,
less impressive.
He says, man, if you drove around here, you wouldn't even think that there was a pandemic happening in your city. And I don't know. I took that as a compliment because it just tells me, again, we're a resilient community.
Yep.
And we've maintained our, you know, we're living our life. I think it's important.
I agree. And that there's so many outdoor activities that are available to us helps it seem like things are normal. You know, like we're outdoors and we're doing things and we're active, and it helps this crazy world that we're living in with COVID feel a little bit more normal, and it's nice.
And I think it's for folks who are listening to this, just to understand the type of influence that the leadership here in San Juan County has over the state. I mean, we have really done a great job over the last 2 years. We have a safe city to live in, Chief, right? We have good schools that are challenging the process. You know, we got the test to stay now, so we're not just throwing kids. You know, if you're exposed for 10 days, you got to stay at home. We're testing them so they can stay in school. You know, we're challenging these processes in the midst of this, you know, historical time. And I think individuals across the state have recognized that Farmington continues to be outspoken and leading in that regard. And you know, your involvement with the New Mexico Municipal League, which was one of the most inspiring moments, I think, of the whole year for me, was attending the state meetings with you or regional, whatever they were. I wish I could have recorded him.
Oh, I know. When he gets it was going, outstanding. He's inspiring.
we were speaking about, you know, the marijuana dispensaries and kind of where that outlook looks. And that's something that's coming up here in 2021.
Yep.
Matter of fact, at tonight's council meeting, we've got our first special use permit request for somebody to have one of those shops on Broadway. Yep. So
those are some of the changes, definitely, that as we enter 2022, we don't know what those will look like. You know, we've got the governor's up for re-election, and we just had her down at the law enforcement conference this last week, and she was sure sounding, less like some of the progressive talk we've heard in the last 2 years about defunding the police and criminal justice reform, and it was much more about crime and supporting the police and trying to figure out a way that we're going to make our community safer. And I know I just read an article in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, and it was an editorial that was really calling on the state to step in and try and do something to bring crime under control in Albuquerque, that it's not just Mayor Keller's problem, that it's the biggest city in New Mexico, and as they go, so do we all. And right now, crime is definitely a top priority, I think, for many of the citizens there. We'll see. I'm hopeful that it will be for our legislature as well. But that's a far cry from where we were 18 months ago. You know, the police were public enemy number one across the country and the state. And then you get to the reality of it. Homicides are up and crime is up and people feel less safe. So I think here we've been successful. And some of it's, you know, because our officers are doing an outstanding job, both within the county and within the city. And then some of it, I think we just... as a community, we have more respect for each other than I think you see in some of the other parts that are struggling in our country, where they're just more disconnected from each other. And so I'm hopeful 2022 will let's get some sanity back. We still want the police to do the right thing and the right way, and I get those things, and we should. But we also have to be realistic. People have to be safe.
Yeah.
Or they're not, you know, they can have freedom of speech, but if they're not safe to have it, you know, it doesn't do a lot of good.
Well, and I think with what I really enjoyed in 2021, when we were working on our big recruiting video that we put out this year, we really talked a lot about it. Like, what is the what's the person that we're looking for to be a police officer? And I think that we've focused more on that, like, nobility of the profession and being a helper and being an active community member. And that's what makes a good police officer and someone who genuinely cares about their community. And then our community reflects that back to us because they appreciate that our officers are kind and professional and they care about the people that they're, you know, helping. So then our community is so supportive. We just, as a PIO, I am so thankful that I don't work at a department where our community hates our police department.
Right.
So it's so wonderful to live in this community that is so supportive.
No, I certainly express that same sentiment. I've yet, really, in the years that I've been elected official here, received any real negative comments regarding the actions of our police. I mean, more overwhelmingly is the, man, I saw this situation happening and the police officers responded and they did it in the right way, in the right manner, and they were polite and respectful. And so that's changed. I mean, there's 10, 15 years ago, that may have not have been the sentiment per se in all of our interactions. But I think that certainly speaks to your leadership and our desire to, you know, to be a progressive police department.
Yeah.
You know, we're a metropolitan police department. That sets us apart, really. We're the biggest law enforcement agency here in the Four Corners area. We have a bigger responsibility to lead by example. And I think you and your team have done an outstanding job of that. And I, you know, I just appointed, you know, another person to the CPAC commission, and he's been absolutely, every time I'm with him, he wants to talk about CPAC and he wants to talk about the things that he's learning.
That's great to hear.
That's the type of excitement and the engagement that communities have to have.
Yeah.
So no, we are very blessed. I found it interesting in Durango Herald this week, I read an article about Colorado suffering from their own issues regarding property crime.
Sure.
And they have the same catch and release the bail reform situation that we're dealing with. And it's just interesting to read the comments on there, where clearly you have data that shows catch and release is, is causing some of these issues,
right.
And they just pretend like that's not the case, and we've got to get that fixed.
So that's, you know, unfortunately, it's a nationwide issue, and you see it definitely in New York City. They've been talking quite a bit, and out in California, you know, another example of it. But the foundation of it isn't bad, that poor people shouldn't stay in jail longer,
sure,
just because they're poor. Right. So I have no objection to what the goal was. But that doesn't mean just because you have a laudable goal that the path you're taking to get there is the right one. And yeah, that's where I think we're fumbling.
I think there's a step that's been missed,
right,
somewhere in this process.
You know, which is a little bit like the defund the police. I don't even really object to some of what they're saying. You know, I don't mind diverting resources from the police to other civilian agencies that can deal with the inebriates, that can deal with the mental health crisis more, that can deal with homelessness. But you don't start with take the money from the cops and you don't even have any other. You still have nothing else that can fill that void.
Sure.
But you started with taking the money from the cops. That was the easy thing.
So
the easy thing was take the money from the cops. The hard thing is then developing those intermediate steps that get us to a better society that we all want. I really don't want to send our officers out to deal with some of the things that we wind up dealing with. But in the absence, and if not a complete vacuum of any other entity that can do those things, it winds up being the police. And so, you know, just like with criminal justice reform, I think we need to have some discussions. Some of the ideas that came out of the last few years are not bad ideas. I even like the goals. But the path we're getting there are things that we are not in agreement on, and you're seeing the consequences of it. When you're just releasing people carte blanche, like, and pretending that they're not committing crimes when they get out, well, I think we're finding out they are, and that really isn't a shock.
Well, hopefully this next legislative session will right that a little bit. And hopefully people will admit that we're kind of on the wrong track. And
yeah,
and we're going to figure out how to right it, that we want to fix this problem. I agree with you that, you know, it shouldn't be about how much money you have as to whether or not you stay in jail. So, you know, we have this goal and we don't need to lose sight of it. But we maybe took a wrong turn and we need to figure out how to still achieve that goal, but make things a little safer for,
yeah,
our community.
You know, the Waukesha, from Waukesha, Wisconsin, where I'm from, the Christmas parade where the guy drove through the parade and killed like six kids in the parade, or at least six people, and hurt like 40 more. He was out on low bond for running over his girlfriend, which is, you know, not just ironic, it's unbelievably ironic.
Right.
And so, you know, when you start adding those up across the country, and there's been some in New York that have been horrifying, and you're seeing the catch and release thing operating in California, and I forget what other one just happened recently, but the article from the Santa Fe New Mexican that I was reading, Albuquerque's over 100 homicides this year. That's a hell of a lot of homicides.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one thing to talk about defunding the police, but whatever the homicide level used to be, that's, and now it's over 100, that's the number of people that are dead that didn't have to be dead. You know, that's a lot. And when you start doing that in city after city around the country, you know, we need to take a collective breath here and go back to the drawing board together. And I know that's an unusual word right now in our country, but together, go back, sit down, and let's see if we can work it out so that our citizens are still safe.
Yeah, I got to think we share more than we in common than what we have not in common. And certainly the goal here is to create a safe community, safe cities, places where we feel like we can walk to, our kids can,
right,
walk to school, we can enjoy the parks, we can have that experience and not have to worry about something bad happening, somebody,
right,
being shot. Yeah, I agree with you. I think we have to figure out a way to do it together and kill the bipartisanship that has certainly plagued us for the past, geez, I don't know. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Well, let's be hopeful for 2022.
I am, actually, because I feel like there are some winds of change, so to speak.
I feel like
the pendulum's swinging and people are recognizing that Americans really do share some very common beliefs and how they want to live their lives and what the quality of life in these cities should look like. And we're certainly seeing some bad characters out there in these bigger urban areas that, man, it destroys people's image of what America is. You know, I'll just say this. I know we got to go in here a second. But when I was a kid, San Francisco was like, man, someday I hope I can go to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just had this Joe Montana-esque vision of what San Francisco was.
Yeah.
And I never had a chance to go there, and now I don't want to go
no,
there.
No,
yeah.
No, it's
and now you know. You're like, what has happened there? And that's the thing we have to find a way to correct. especially in these big, you know, these large American cities that have been such a foundation for who we are as a country.
So 2021 was a good year for us here in Farmington. I think we're hopeful. Nicole's words, we're hopeful 2022 will be a good one for both Farmington, New Mexico, and for our country. So in the meantime, we want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we'll see you again in 2022.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.